Good morning. This talk's going to be a little fractured, but give you a little background. As most of you know, I'm part of a prison program that brings the Dharma to prisoners, in this case the state prison in Avenel. And amazingly, 10 of the prisoners on August 4th are going to be receiving Jukai, which means that they've completed study to become a Buddhist. And so there's four of us that do this, and it's led by Roshi Joan Hubricks. So she led this discussion about, you know, we're starting to get prepared for the service. And so we had this discussion. And so after the discussion, she asked me what I thought of the movie. How many here went to the movie about Buddhism and Christianity? Well, there was a movie, for those of you who don't know, which was done by a director named, I think it's Michael Ankley. And this movie, which is about 45 minutes, includes my teacher, Roshi Kennedy, who is a Jesuit priest, and three or four other, I don't know if they were teachers themselves or not, but three or four other Christians. And the focus of the movie was about, is there or can there be a connection between Buddhism and Christianity? And so there was the movie, and the movie was followed by a discussion. And so this is sort of the very, very abbreviated version of it. And I would guess, what would you say, Jeff, about 40, 50 people were there?
At least.
Yeah. So it's a pretty good crowds, which means to me that there's an interest in this connection or non-connection, depending upon how you experience it. And so Joan Hubricks said to me, you know, what I thought. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about it, and I said, well, I heard a number of people talking about that it didn't really explain or provide an explanation for, or is there a connection between Christianity and Buddhism. It was a lovely movie, and you know, each teacher, each person talked about the issue. And I sort of tended to agree that there was some confusion. And now I've spent 30 years with a teacher who's a Jesuit priest, and I never really devoted myself to understanding the relationship, if there is one, between Buddhism and Christianity. And my practice was to sit and zazen, and didn't really involve myself in any way about the religious side of it, you know, the different people from the different traditions that came to sit with Roshi. But this question brought up for me, okay, so what is the connection? And when I have thought about it, I think that where the connection arises is not in the religion that's based on knowledge, that's based on dogma, that's based on culture, time and place, and is subjected to political whim, etc. You know, that's to me, you know, you're going to have to give me some latitude for the words because I haven't really thought it out clearly. But that to me, I would call conventional religion. And there's a spectrum, I think, in religions. And that's sort of the conservative end of the spectrum. It's part of the religion is part of a culture. Again, as I said, this culture is affected by political whim. And the focus is on dogma. And focusing on dogma, I think, creates a viewpoint that embraces separation of us versus them. So that's what I would say is the conservative side. And this is what I was saying to Joan. This is sort of off the top of my head. And so the other end of the spectrum, I think, is the mystical aspect of a religion, which at its heart is based on experience, not just knowledge. And so this way of embracing the world, I think the mystical side is found in just about all of the major religions. I believe Judaism has a mystical side. Hinduism, as we know, Buddhism, people who are Muslim, Native Americans, all of these cultures, and I'm leaving many of them out of the discussion, but they have a mystical side. And it's this mystical side which is empty. It's empty of dogma. It's empty to a certain extent of culture. The focus is on experience. And I think it's that experience is where the common ground arises, the connection between all religions. This expression of who we are in the world and what does this all mean. Now we know in Zen, the ultimate experience is there is no meaning. There's experience. And then, of course, this gets explained, and that's where, I don't know if you'd call it dogma, but that's where the knowledge part comes in. But the knowledge is based on experience. So I think that the heart of the discussion, which this movie presented, has to do with whether or not your experience includes a mystical experience. No matter how you discuss it or talk about it, whether the label is God or oneness or... those are just names. That's just language to express this experience. And the language is sort of culture-based and all that. So that's how I would see it. And then part of this discussion with Joan, we were talking to her about it, you know, she said, well, why don't you come to our group and talk about this? Now, I'm probably the last person to do this because I don't really spend a lot of time in conventional religion. And I was raised a Lutheran, but it's ancient to me now. It's many, many, many years ago that I disassociated myself from conventional religion. So I started to look into this and to see, okay, so how would I present the talk? So these are some of the notes that I have, which I'm going to share. And, you know, just as a way, not during the sitting period, but at some point as either in Daisan or at lunch, just promote a discussion of this or encourage you to give this some thought. So there's a guy named Carl Rahner, R-A-H-N-E-R, who is, I wasn't familiar with him until I started reading about this, but he's one of the most renowned Christian theologians of the 20th century. And he once famously remarked, the Christian of the future will be a mystic or will not exist at all. The Christian of the future will be a mystic or will not exist at all. And he goes on to say that mysticism implies not a patriarchal morality grounded in obedience, but a living spirituality, heartfelt intimacy, and I put this in quotes, with God, centered on miraculous and joyful appreciation of the Spirit's ability to heal and transform lives. Now that description is very close to the kind of description that Buddhism offers, and particularly people who have started to have openings, started to have the direct experience of existence. So the language that is slightly different. But in my experience, it's really talking about the same thing, and I highlighted for myself intimacy with God. You know, so if we substitute the word with the universe or with everything, our practice really at its heart is about becoming intimate, becoming one, where we empty ourselves of all the ideas that we have about it, and we have the experience. Now, another theologian, his name is also Carl. Totally by accident, by the way. Uh-huh. I didn't go in looking to find out what all the Carls had to say. So his name is Carl McCollum. And, you know, he talks about that the mystical element of Christianity has existed since the time of Jesus. Now, again, I just want to repeat, I'm doing this as Christian and Buddhism, but I think it has to do with the interrelationship of all religions, where every religion has a mystical side, and if we communicate from the mystical experience, there's basically a oneness. It's only when we get into the dogma and the culture and all of that, that separation starts to begin. So he talks about the political nature of the institutional church. And he mentions that mysticism presents itself as a threat to the authority of the church or the particular religion. And because of the political nature of the institutional church, many mystics throughout history have been persecuted, some killed, while others learn to camouflage their wisdom in carefully worded books and poems that appeared non-threatening to religious authority. You know, so there's a number of pretty well-known Christian mystics, theologians. Meister Eckhart, who says, "The eye which with I see God is the same eye with which God sees me." Now, that's not much, you can't get much clearer a statement of the interrelationship, the oneness of things. And he goes on to say, "My eye is God's eye, is one eye, it's one sight, and one knowledge, and one love." So that's a Christian talking about the same thing that we talk about in Buddhist language. Well, I guess I'll stop there, but I was going to present the basic teachings of mysticism and also from various theologians. And the bottom line is that the mystical end of traditions doesn't stress the differences. In fact, it just lets go of the differences. It enters into it a totally different way, and that way is through direct experience. Right? It's not a theological argument. It's an expression of experience which actually makes it much better, or creates fertile ground to connect rather than separate. So I'm just going to end quickly with a poem by the Zen monk Ryokan. "A quiet night behind my grass hut, alone I play a stringless lute. Its melody drifts to the wind, blown clouds, and fades. Its sound deepens with the running stream, expanding till it fills a deep ravine and echoes through the vast woods. Who other than a deaf person can hear this faint song?" So, if you're a Christian and I'm a Buddhist, but we have this experience, our religions don't get between us. Right? This is an expression of oneness, the beauty of oneness. And I think each tradition leads to this kind of experience when it focuses on mysticism. So thank you.